Well, now a very good morning to you, beloved Regal FM listeners. Welcome to another episode of Social Time with me, Hileni Inane. I will be your host from now up until the hour of 11 o'clock. So like we do it every other Saturday, we come here and, you know, we have conversations that are building our nation, conversations that could either make or break us. And we have some of those uncomfortable conversations that people at home are not very keen to have, right? You know, those conversations that are taboos in your homes, conversations that are taboos, in your communities, conversations that people just overlook but are equally just as important. So we come here and we have conversations that socially affect everyone, every Namibian child, every Namibian adult, you know, every citizen of Namibia. And we just go through such conversations and see what we can tackle on a daily basis and see what solutions we can find to some of the solutions we can actually find to some of the issues that we are battling with as a Namibia and as people in general. So that is actually just in a nutshell what we do here on Social Time. We have social conversations about everything and about nothing. So if you're new to Eagle FM, do welcome. And I am hoping that you will continue listening to our programming from today onwards. We have quite the menu with programming here. We do everything from business to jokes to serious news to Oshiwambo programming that have quite the information, and that we have quite some of the things that, you know, you just need to be learning about your culture and as Namibian. So that is what we offer you here. So we have services that we offer to you guys as the public or to parastatals, to companies, to SOEs, to government, and whoever may require our services, be it SMEs and so forth. So we have live streaming services. We have live broadcasting services whereby we will come to wherever your event is taking place and we will either live stream it or we will live broadcast it live on air, and people can happen as the event is happening in real time. People can also participate through commentary on social media platforms, and you can keep the engagement coming, because sometimes the location is not locationing right, and the amount of people you need to reach are not able to make it to the venue. So we can always just come and meet you halfway, broadcast your product, broadcast your services, and keep the nation informed, or keep your target market informed about what is going on. And I'm sure many of you can attest to the fact that we do that on a daily basis. We do that frequently. We bring you court hearing sessions. We bring you educational programmings on different things, voters educational program. But that should not stop the show. And, you know, we have programs such as Stop Suffering that come on here on a daily basis. And those people, they just teach you what it's like, or they educate you in certain angles that we at Eagle FM are definitely not doing. And, you know, they give you certain information that we are not giving you, or they give you certain information with in depth, because sometimes we just touch the surface, right? We just scratch the surface. So someone else comes in here and give you the actual information that you require. So with that said, do reach out to our marketing team. Do call me, Monica. Every day you guys hear Monica Sales, please call her and make a date with your event, and we will be there to live broadcast it. Miskien ek bring ook lekker saam, ne? You never know. Otherwise, you can follow us on all our social media platforms. That is to keep up with all our programming, to keep up with news that are happening in and around the country, and to just make sure that you are informed about what is happening in the country. You are informed about, you know, the direction in which the country is going into. Oh, sorry, guys. We have our Eagle FM app. If you do not have it yet, download your Eagle FM app. It's very convenient. It's, I actually recommend the app more than I do traditional radio, because networks, hi, hectic. But with the app, you are always guaranteed it's going to be online, and it has added benefits such as podcasting services. You will find all our previous broadcasts on them. You will find news articles on them. You will find a list of our program lineup on there. You will find so much about us on there. So be it that you missed certain shows in the past, you missed something that you really wanted to listen to, you can always go back to the podcast and just listen to it. If you're doing research, we have some of those shows that are really, really impactful, that are really, really informative. You can also just go back and listen to those shows. Listen to those shows and make sure that you know, you are informed and you don't miss out on everything that is happening around you. So follow us on all our social media platforms to keep yourself updated, to always know what we are going to be talking about here on radio, and so that you can also just better prepare yourself to come and join us on the conversations that we are bound to have on the, on episodes like Social Time. Lastly, if you still do not know about the e-Villager paper, we have an online e-paper, newspaper that we release every Monday, Wednesday, and that is Friday. So to subscribe to our e-paper, send your name to 081-241-44, and we will be able to add you to our billing list. The good news is you do not get to pay for the e-Villager paper. It's an online platform. We send it to you. You don't have to pay anything for it. Nothing at all. And I know you guys, you don't like to pay for things, all right? So this one we bring to you on a silver platter. You just send us a message, and from there onwards, you get the e-paper every day. Now, there's a lot of scams going on in this country, eh? So, when they call you and they tell you, we are calling you from Eagle FM, Kombongeza, Kuradiriko Olympia, and they want you to pay a certain subscription fee for our e-paper or our Eagle FM app, don't do it. Do not do it, Colliquest. Do not do it. We don't charge for most of the services that we bring to you on a silver platter. But with all that said, I think we can all agree that Social Time is a never social time unless we have listened to, that is, we all know the anthem for Social Time. That is Billie Eilish with her Ocean Eyes. Do stay tuned, and I will be with you right after this musical break so that we can just dive into our conversation for the day.
you cry last year when I was on the road? I meant it when I said it, you could always hit my phone. 213-267-9932, girl, you know. I'ma make this better, you. I never will forget you. Look me in my eyes, tell me you ain't a part of me, no fair, no fair.
Now, welcome back. That was Billie Eilish with her Ocean Eyes. Now, if you're just joining us right now, you are tuned into Social Time with me, Hileni Inane, and you are not late. You are actually right on time. So, let us get right into it. So today's conversation is one that most of you can resonate with, is one that most of you can relate to, because you guys are raising children who I would like to judge in my free time, of course, because unlike other people, guys, I don't listen and not judge. You know that statement of we listen, we don't judge? I don't do that. I listen and I judge. So today we are going to talk about the culture of raising children who are forgetting or who are not taught about cultural practice, children who are unable to speak their mother tongues, people who are unable to speak, you know, the languages of their fathers and so forth. So this is actually the type of generation that is being raised right now. And amazingly, I could have turned out as one of them, eh? I would have turned out as one of those people if my mother was not so, you know, kocha. Meskat, there is no way on God's green earth you are going to communicate anything to me in any other language that is not Oshiwambo, because I almost went haywire. So we live in a generation that many people do not speak to their children in their indigenous languages. Many people do not teach their kids their indigenous languages. So people are raising households whereby it's English, 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 English. To an extent whereby when your kids even go to the north, or when they go visit their grandparents, wherever it may be it in the south, be it in Herero land, be it in the far coast, you know, your kids are not able to properly communicate with the elders that side, because the kids don't know how to speak Oshiwambo. The kids don't know how to speak Themba. The children do not know how to speak Oshierero. They do not know how to properly articulate themselves in Khoikhoi Kovab. So at the end of the day, it's a thing of you are raising your children entirely based off of an of the Western culture. The children don't even know their own cultures. They don't know why certain practices are being practiced. They don't know why certain things are done the way they are done. So in a nutshell, we are just going to have a conversation around this specific argument and to just see where it is leading us. You know, also for educational purposes, also for when you and I are not here anymore, what is going to become, you know, I want you to take a minute and ask yourself, what is going to become of Namibia after, you know, the generations that actually went through studying their maternal languages, learning cultural practices? What is going to happen to Namibia when that whole generation is phased out and Amapiano kids are here with their rah, 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 rah. I don't want to say like who's, but with their rah, 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 rahs. And maybe you will be here to see it. Maybe you won't be here to see it. Van Almal doet mos op in de fani dag. But I would like to see what that Namibia is going to be like, because it's going to be an interesting Namibia. It's going to be a Namibia that to me will not have a direction, because some of the things that kept us grounded, especially my generation, some of the things that kept us grounded are cultural practices, cultural norms, those teachings from home. And if you have not been raised by Kukune, then I don't think you really, really would understand what I'm talking about. When you are raised by a Kuku that tells you inocha, irongo yantui haitiwa, and so forth, then you would know what it is that I am speaking about. But first, let's listen to Sanet Steenkamp and our Minister of Education and Ineas Mvula, Member of Parliament, on what their sentiments are on, you know, the state of languages in Namibia, the state of indigenous languages in Namibia. And after that, we can, you know, just dive right into it, because it is concerning, not just to me that is super curious, but also to people like the education minister, also to people who are in parliament, which shows you guys that this is a problem that should be dealt with. This is something, this is a conversation that as a Namibia we should be having, because this is a conversation of who is responsible to pass on the knowledge, who is responsible to teach these children, who is responsible to make sure that indigenous languages do not die out in the country. And this is where we are now coming in to say, whose responsibility is it? Is it the ministries? Is it the parents who are bringing up the kids before they are even able to go to school? And what can be done to make sure that for future purposes, you know, we reintroduce back our indigenous languages. We put them back into the system. We make sure they are as popular as they were back then. So those are just some of the things that we are going to talk about today.
I hereby give notice that on Thursday, the 24th of April, 2025, I hereby give notice that on Thursday, the 24th of April, 2025, I shall ask the Minister of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture, Honorable Sanet Steenkamp, about the systematic marginalization of the Khoi Kobab language in Namibia's higher education institutions. Despite the provisions of the National Language Policy and constitutional recognition of indigenous languages, there is a growing evidence of political and institutional bias that undermines the study, teaching, and preservation of Khoi Kobab. the International University of Namibia, International University of Management, or IUM, pardon me, which initially promised training for Khoikhoi Kovab teachers, has diverted enrollment or enrolled students to unrelated fields, citing low enrollment and cost-related excuses for not hiring lecturers. The Institution of Open Learning, or IOL, has recently discontinued the diploma in Khoikhoi Kovab education without publicly providing any rationale. I therefore ask the following. What measures is the ministry taking to prevent the unjust discontinuation or downgrading of indigenous language programs such as Khoikhoi Kovab in tertiary institutions? Two, why are institutions like Lingua College allowed to transfer cost and responsibility of lecturer recruitment for Khoikhoi Kovab to students, while other language groups are fully supported? Three, has the ministry engaged the IUM and IOL regarding the redirection of Khoikhoi Kovab students and the termination of the diploma program respectively? And what were the outcomes of such engagements? Four, what is the current status of Khoikhoi Kovab enrollment at UNAM? And are there any targeted plans by the ministry to increase student intake and institutional investment in the program? Finally, five, will the ministry initiate a language equity audit across higher education institutions to ensure compliance with the national language policy and to address systematic disparities affecting Khoikhoi Kovab and other indigenous languages? I so submit.
Of collective memory and action of revitalizing our cultural practices, but also to address generational gaps that they may be. It offers an expression of our shared determination to advance towards unity, growth, prosperity, and healing. Nobody in our country should feel left out and they left a worthy past. We are worthy. We've witnessed transformative change, not only in education reform, but also in the growing embrace of our diverse heritage as Namibians. Our shared histories, our own histories, and our layered identities. And all these calls for remembrance, reckoning, and renewal. The work of reclaiming and preserving our cultural identities should not only be a community effort, it must and is a national imperative. The broad vision is to restore dignity to education, to empower through identity, and to build a future that is truly anchored in our heritage and roots. I wish to state that our commitment in including indigenous languages into the formal curriculum is not symbolic. It's not just because it's nice. It's all strategic. A language, if it needs to be taught, it must be spoken first. And this is where the parents are the first teachers of language. And it is the decision of the parent to ensure them that their child, raised with a mother tongue, will have access to a class in his or her mind. Therefore, I appeal today to our parents, who are our first resource teachers. I am appealing to you. You have the choice. And many are these days choosing to have their children in an English medium class. We need the right numbers. We can start with 25 children in a class to start a class in Ukraine. In Italy, we need young students who are willing to embrace and become Ukrainian teachers. And we will have to be frank about it that more scholarships need to be available for teachers when we have a lack of them.
Now there you have heard it from a member of parliament, Enyas Mvula, and our minister of education, Ms. Sanette Steenkamp, on their takes on the current system surrounding indigenous languages in the Namibia, and especially so that surrounding certain indigenous languages, because there are those indigenous languages that are obviously more popular than others, and factors contributing to that are factors such as the population, the interest on how many of these people exist, and also availability of resources. Because if you listened very well, you would hear that Enyas argues on the factors that contribute to the phasing out of particular languages out of universities, particular languages out of systems. And it's because of the fact that the number of people that are either interested in studying the languages is not as high as the number of people that either a university requires for it to make it part of their curriculum. A university requires to make a full classroom, because there are two sides to a coin, right? And in instances such as this, if only two learners are enrolled in a specific language course at school, it makes it very difficult for logistical purposes. And I'm not defending the system. I'm just saying it makes it very difficult for logistical purposes for someone to come and teach those two students, because now this particular university has to cash out money on a daily basis to make sure that this lecturer is paid, to make sure that this faculty or this language course is catered to make sure that the resources the students require are just as good as the resources in all the other programs that are being offered at the university. But with only two students and knowing the cost of living, the cost of resources, you would come to the realization that somewhere, somehow, the government and institutions, both private and government institutions, need to come together. They need to somehow find a balance in where they can meet each other halfway so that they are actually able to find a leveled ground where they can stand on, where they can have conversations such as this, where they can find solutions to those conversations. And I am not going to entirely blame the government, eh? I am not going to entirely blame the government, because the government meets you halfway. As parents at home, the government meets you halfway. So for you to make sure you have raised a child that is able to go to university and study Khoikhoi Kovab, that is going to go to university and study Oshindonga, that is going to go to university and study Themba, that is going to go to university and study Silozi, Rukwangali, or Herero, for you to make sure that your child ends up there, it needs to be from the get-go. It needs to be from, when they start to speak, when they learn to speak, that is where you need to start instilling this knowledge into them. That is when you need to start teaching your children that this is the importance of knowing this particular language, because one day you will grow up and you will need it for certain purposes. But if you are just raising your child to say, "Mommy, the remote is where," if you are just raising your junior to say, "Junior, prat mas nou nie vambo tal nie," Junior, Donny, Junior, Dondatni. If that is the person you are racing, then even if the education ministry put measures into place to make sure that the schools are capacitated enough to teach these languages, to make sure that universities are capacitated enough to teach these languages and offer these study modes, it does not help that this ministry has put measures into place. It does not help that parliamentarians have fought for these measures to be put in place. Marayo, you are sending your junior to these places that cannot even greet. Simple greeting. Matisa, thank you, Amiture. The child cannot do now. Now you want someone else to go start from scratch with this particular thing. So as parents, you guys have the responsibilities to make sure that you give your children a kickstart. You guys have the responsibilities to preserve cultures. You guys have the responsibilities to give your children that foundation so that when they get to grassroots level, so that they can get, when they get to school level, they already know something. You just don't throw the child in the ocean like that. You don't do that. And I find it interesting that with foreign languages, you guys push your children. Study German, study French, study Mandarin, study whatever. You enforce it on your children. But basic, your own language that they even breastfed from, so naturally it's supposed to attach faster to them. You don't want them to learn. You don't want the junior to know how to speak Koikoikovab. You don't want junior to know how to speak Oshiwambo, because now junior sounds ghetto. You don't want junior to learn how to speak Silozi, because you are convincing yourself if junior is speaking Silozi, if junior is speaking Rukwangale, Julia will always want to stay in the village. That verki suani. Junior can actually grow up to be a linguistic. Junior can actually grow up to, you know, to be someone that offers translation services and so much more. So this needs to start with parenting. This needs to start with, you know, defining preservation of culture in parenting. So for me, what the preserving culture really means when it comes to parenting is that preserving culture is parenting. In parenting is about more than just teaching children a few traditional songs or dressing them in cultural attires for Heritage Day. It's the intentional act of passing down values. It's the intentional act of passing down values and customs and languages and ways of life so that it becomes part of the child's identity and worldview. So that when the child looks out into the world, they can see a reflection of themselves, you know, in the traditional Vambu tates. You know, there are those Vambu men, there are those Vambu women who have so much cultural pride that even when you look at them, you smile because it gives you so much dignity. You are like, wow, Tarakota. You know, you find pride in it. But now, because it's what day at school, now I dress Mini Hileni in a very beautiful, very nicely curated Vambu dress with fjallskoene.
With heels.
No, for that one day at least, I stick to the plan. I stick to the requirements. So you dress the child up and she looks like a little Ndonga princess. She looks like a little Ndonga prince, you know. The child looks so beautiful. And guys, the Koikoikovab attires, those Damaranama attires, they are beautiful. They are gorgeous. And you know, and you look at your child and the child looks rather beautiful. But then the child does not even know the meaning of just the attires that they are wearing. I'm not saying I know, but I should have known. And these are some of the things that were taught to me, but I think with age I forgot, and I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying there's still room for me to improve. But you know, the Vereras people way, Iranda, the waist beads mm-hmm. people wear. Some people wear them for trends, mm-hmm. But if you go back home, you'd actually realize that culturally they have their meanings, mm-hmm. and also they differ. Married women wear certain waist beads. Women without children wear certain waist beads, mm-hmm. and then when you have your children, you change and you transition to a different set of waist beads. Those are the things we are talking about. Now, ohoturike, oshiranda, those neck pieces on the child. Mm-hmm. The child does not even know what it symbolizes. The child is just wearing, but even if you ask the child now, what does the things on your wrist means?
They don't know.
What are they called? Uputu. It's uputu. Mm. Some wear them for traditional purposes. Some wear them for fashion trends. Mm. I wore them for fashion trends. Mm. It's something I saw and it's really, really cute. But then when I went to buy them, it was actually explained to me then why people wear them. And then I was also taught how to wear them. Because I just saw something and I really love how they contrast on your skin. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want that. It's cute. But for me, it was more of a fashion trend than, yes, than knowing what they actually mean until I took a step to go buy them. And that is when I was like, oh, hi, Nani, people are using them for this. Mm-hmm. But those are some of the things that I did not know. And, I'm not going to say it's because it was not taught to me. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to acknowledge the fact that things like uputu mm-hmm. don't exist in all of the Oshiwambo dialects.
Yeah, let me even just ask you a question, Hileni. Like, do you even know the reason why in Oshiwambo, like, okuvae komadi, omoshikola ngenge toka fukala when the lady is getting married? Onokukala vae komadi, omoshikola mo. So...
I don't. And also now, that is now why we are having this conversation, mm-hmm. because also those practices are now phasing out. You know, when they had real, real traditional weddings, mm-hmm. name, mm-hmm. we were still young. We didn't understand some of those things. We were still growing up. We know they happen, mm-hmm. but we were not at a position where we were able to grasp the situation fully and understand it properly, man. And then as we grew older and we are now at this point where we understand everything, mm-hmm. but the people that were holding our families together, the people that were gluing the traditions and the cultural norms mm-hmm. onto us, they are not there anymore.
They are
dead. Mm-hmm. And now, Ohango,
yeah.
I
love asking my granny, my dear, especially when it comes to Oshiwambo. Whenever I go to my grandmother, I have to ask her, what does this mean? Or, like, how do I do it? Can I do this or can I not?
Yeah.
Like, those questions. And I feel like it's very important because nowadays, especially when you see those kids, the way they are growing, their manners, it depends on how they were raised. And it also depends on languages also.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not told your mother tongue, it's something important. It's very important.
Yes.
Especially, let me say, to us Vambos. If you happen not to know Oshiwambo, then mm-hmm. you are missed. You missed a lot. You really missed a lot.
No, and it's not just for Vambos, mm-hmm. because culturally, every mm-hmm. culture is equally as important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you would emphasize on the Vambos because mm-hmm. that is who you are.
Yeah.
And I would emphasize on different things because, I've had the opportunity to live in other people's lands.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I mostly use the statement of, mm-hmm. because that is a statement that stuck with me for so long
mm-hmm.
because I started going to school somewhere far, very far from home, mm-hmm. at a really young age. And every time I left, my grandmother would always tell me, "Ini my aunt bihai guma, aunt bihati, aunt bihati, koma digantu, okudigo, koma manyo kudigo." So she, there are just certain things she taught me. But while I was there, koma digantu, I was also able to experience their culture. I was also able to experience their way of life. And I kid you not, it's rich, very rich. Sometimes I like to think it's even richer than the Oshiwambo speaking culture. Unfortunately, the numbers are what is now making one more popular than others, because this is a smaller community. And the Ovawambos is a bigger, wider community. So when you put emphasis on it, it's like, let's say you are cheering for a team. Let me use the example of home away games. It's like how our soccer teams are currently playing soccer in other countries. It's probably just 10 people cheering for them. But then when the host country, when their cheer comes up, it's the voices are amplified. It makes it sound more important because of the presence and the amplification of the people that surrounds it. So these cultures are equally just as important. They are equally just as interesting. They are very rich, but because of circumstances, we find ourselves having conversations such as this one. And now it's a question of who is at fault.
You are right. I remember it was, I think it was last year or last of last year, I had a speech at the cultural day at our school on our campus. I had a speech and I was wearing our attire, like Oshivambo attires.
Yes.
And imagine how those people were proud of my outfit. It was really like I was wearing the whole Oshivambo outfit, the traditional outfit.
Yes.
Or the lela on sheva and everything. And imagine people were proud. Everyone was hyping at me, which I know. So I feel like it's really good to know more about tradition, or maybe let me say about culture. It's really important. And the way you are growing up, or let me say the way you are going to raise your kids, it's just something that you need to put more efforts on it.
Yes. If you would like to join our conversation in studio, the number is 083-288-401. And if you're wondering who the other voice in studio, it's a very familiar voice to you guys. It's Bernadette joining me late, but nonetheless, better late than never, right? So we will be continuing this particular conversation on the other side of this musical break, and we'll just continue to deliberate on it. So if you want to join the conversation, if there is anything at all that you want to add to the conversation of how we can better, you know, manage preserving indigenous languages, of how you can better raise your children to make sure that they can be integrated into systems that still support indigenous languages, how as a nation we can do better in that particular aspect. So I will leave you with Alex Warren, Ordinary.
They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane our masterpiece. Oh my, my, oh my, my love, I take one look at you, you're taking me out the ordinary. You lay me down to a dead and buried on the edge of your knife, staying drunk on your ride. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, no one be found. So this is a world for the ordinary. down to a dead and buried on the edge of your knife, staying drunk on your vine. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, knowing we found someone so out. They say the holy water's watered down, and this town's lost its faith. Our colors will fade eventually, so if our time is running out, day after day, we'll make the mundane our masterpiece. Oh my, my, oh my, my love, I take one look.
Mama told me, go
make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old,
it was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger, pushing each other to the limits. We were learning quicker. By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely. Once I was 11 years old, always had that dream like my daddy before me. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to pull me, cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told before the morning sun when life was lonely. See my goals, I don't believe in failure, cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor, and if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told. I was threatened by everything I saw before me. Once I was 20 years old, songs have been sold. We've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. So we will be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life. My woman brought children for me, so I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory, and some I had to leave behind. My brother, I'm still savvy. Soon I'll be 60 years old. My daddy got 61. Remember life and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I wrote a letter once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a lot of children who can bore me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old, once I was 7 years old.
Well, welcome back to Social Time. Those were the sounds of Lucas Graham with 7 years old. And now, if you are just joining us now, we are having a conversation on the type of parenting that you at home find yourself doing. Are you raising a generation that is able to be, you know, integrated into a future that we are fighting for, into a future that Namibians want to see becoming prosperous, and that is a future of making sure that our indigenous languages do not die out, making sure that our cultural norms and cultural practices continue to stay in place, so that generations after that are also able to learn about them. And you know, like I said before, most of our families, most of our cultures, and most of those practices were held or onto by people who have now left us. You know, it's a good thing if the elders in your family are all still there, eh? If the chummies are there, the grandparents, the great-grandparents, if they are still there, then you are fortunate and you still have time to learn. But then there are those families where the matriarchs and the grandparents and the great-grandfathers that held families together, they are late and they are not there anymore to pass on this cultural knowledge, to pass on this cultural practices. And as we evolve, as you grow, you will come to the realization that with every generation that comes by, something is lost. With every generation that comes by, something is lost. You know, growing up, my favorite thing about Vambo Wedding Sam was Ingobere. And back then, it was fun. Mm-hmm. Weddings were fun. There was so much to do. You know, the way everything was done and the way everything is being done right now. Mm-hmm. These days, everything has been westernized so much that we don't see those cultural practices of and all those things.
I think that is still there.
For some, yes. For some, I've been to weddings and I've seen weddings where some hayakwa that omagadi with that noshidemos ekwang. And I've seen some where that still happened and I've also equally been to weddings where that does not happen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just tamwiko shiunda, you see what the people the kettle people brought for you, and then you and your group of
my goodness.
So it's iruri anua, guys,
like, for real, that can happen. Like,
people are so mean because you know, I saw that meme when I was at my friend's wedding in July and I saw it the day before the wedding and it says, instead of just having yourself a nice wedding where you honor and respect your parents, you are just running around nirurimzo that you call your friends on your bed.
Guys. But it's true, but that thing can happen, like, for real. Okadonataka ombolama itaka vaikwa omadi.
Yes, it's happening. So it's just to say that things are changing and the world is evolving and sadly it's evolving at the expense of cultural norms. It's evolving at the expense of our African cultures, because white people, Western people be doing their Western shenanigans since forever.
I feel like it's not nice, worry, like, it's something Oshima shimwe noho uwete kuchanga shita shia nande wahangi kanando komipia nengeshiki omipia dimu ya di kuanga molu ashu ompia ike wa uwe ya ponga enya malo mipia fimboli mwadu ya sha dipenda kuchwa usululu wakaloyo ushu kulana na shafa peni no una ukala uwa uweli kolelela konsululu wakaloyo kucha shonumbu hashitiwa shongadi hashitiwa uwete nga shita shia nando let me say kwa majo mshikola onga habaye kwa wafuko o majo it means a lot. Takutiwa kucha okuvaye kwa majo moshikola okukala wavaye kwa omadi omoshikola opo ohomboyo ye ikakale ina elao hanosho ashiningwane kucha ono kuno kuvaye kwa madi noho kuina okohe yavaye kweke kukesheka unakuvaye kwa noho kukumeme woye wokota tewoye anotopewe lao ngao bacho kupewe lao kakalune lao mohombo. Yes. And I feel like I've never seen it like oh onfuko shiri tabaye kwa, but if it's like that as at some points, I don't know. It's
yeah, it has gotten to that. It has gotten to that, and I think that is why more than ever this type of conversations become very important.
Mm-hmm.
They become a necessity because it's not just a thing of about we want to see it happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's preservation to make sure that my future children will know about it.
Yes.
But if I am not aware of it, if I am uneducated on cultural practices, what makes society think I'm able to pass on what I can, what I do not know?
You don't know
and that is why this conversation is centered around our parents raising children that are culturally able. Are they integrating what they have learned into their children? Are they passing on the knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when I was younger, I've never ever in my whole life schooled Oshiwambo.
Yeah.
No. My Oshiwambo articulation is so good. I'm not even bragging when I say this.
Wakulile kenge no mushimba or something like that.
Yeah.
I know I also grew up here, from my grade 1 to 7, and then andika ko Shikoto High School. From Shikoto, I went to the north. Ndaka skola ko Ambolel. Ndandilo ngo shikwa nyamo ponda jandi shikwa nyamana. But for real, whenever I'm... Come again? And imagine for me, like, schooling there, here, and in the north, it really helped me, like, for me to know more about Oshiwambo. And also, at least for you to know different languages.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say Oshiwambo, or let me say Oshkwanyama and English, or maybe other languages. It's nice. But to be honest, I don't know, but yeah. It's really nice. It's always nice to learn.
Yeah, so it's for me, it was one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It was torturous growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like, oh, handi ningwanai. If I think about it, now it makes sense. But back then, I felt like my parents were torturing me. I did not look forward to holidays because I knew my holidays were more of Oshiwambo lessons more than holiday.
Mm.
So every time I came home, I would be given a book that everyone at home hasn't read yet. So that was my task. If I wanted what I wanted when I'm going back to school, I needed to read that book. I needed to summarize it and I needed to report it back to my mom. And mind you, my mother is a languages teacher. Oshiwambo for that matter. So she would know whether you read the book or not.
Mm-hmm.
It got so bad that when I got to high school, she made it clear that if I want anything at all from her.
But at least you are better because I heard you even mentioning some proverbs or something like that.
Yeah, no, I was forced to learn.
Yeah.
So if I wanted anything at all from her, I was to send her a message. And Moshiwambo, in Oshiwambo, and it should be properly written. That Oshiwambo should be properly written.
which is okutukuricha, whatever it is, it needed to be done properly. And this is someone that had minimal Oshiwambo knowledge that time, because obviously as a child and you go into other environments, you adapt easily to those environments. So I was somewhere where people were not speaking Oshiwambo at all, because that is what the environment called for. So I was adapting to that and forgetting Oshiwambo. So when they noticed, they were like, you want to play games, ne? Not on my watch. So I up until like grade 7, I resented them so much for it, because I dreaded holidays. Because of that one thing, I knew the Oshiwambo lessons.
Were you really eager to learn like more Oshiwambo? And
no, I wasn't eager to learn. I wasn't eager to learn. So I didn't even know. They were forcing me.
Yeah, I know, it's because of parents. obvious.
So I wasn't eager to learn, because I was already like, the reasoning in my head was, Kucha, why would you send me to an Afrikaans school where in an Afrikaans and Koikoi Kovab area where I do not even have the ability to talk to other people, because we are like the vambus in those schools, ne? You could head count us like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it was very difficult, and I was learning those things, and it made it very difficult for me to continue speaking Oshiwambo. But then again, every time I came home, they wanted me to speak it, yet they sent me to this school.
And it made
me... Eagle FM, you're live.
Oh, good morning, my daughter and some guests there.
Good morning, Daddy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We stand good. And pass my greeting to guest.
It's Bernadetta. She's been with us for a while now.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering. Bernadette, oh God, man. And I was hearing her voice one day, I said, is this a recorded one? Which one is this one?
Yeah, she's live here.
Oh, thank God. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
How's the morning, Bernadette?
The morning is good. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you, and you are very, actually discussing a very crucial topic.
Thank you so much, sir. It's needed.
I don't know, maybe at which level, the language deficiencies, in fact, where the language teachers, or tutors of our languages, are scarce. But there is a great shortage.
Thank you so much.
I think the Minister of Education, once mentioned that.
Yes.
Yeah, and maybe not at the lower level. I don't know which level.
It's at institutional level, tertiary level. They struggle with lecturers at that level.
Imagine. Because at one point I saw one young woman, if there is that a word, who was studying this language at UNAM, and said, no, we are only two. And they are doing it at that master level. They go, who's the lecturer? Dr. Benji or something like that. So then I was observing. And I discovered that there are, even at our village, maybe we have this early childhood development, are no longer in the village. They are no longer in the village. So people are taking their children to kindergarten in town. But we have got teachers in the language, in our language, indigenous language.
Yeah.
We need to understand our indigenous rules and laws and all these aspects, the cultures, our norms, all these things, they need to be taught in our language.
Yes. That's why the kids are no more learning more about traditions, or let me say cultural things. They lack a lot.
You are actually talking, think these are norms, these are values. And these are the values that guide us, they are rules that regulate our conduct, how to observe our culture, our heritage. There is no way we can think of reviving or reconstructing our history that was so, you know, destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then start making some monuments for the Nehares, for the Mandumes.
Mm-hmm.
As people come here, the tourists are coming and all this, it's trolling our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have got so rich culture in terms of learning and teaching and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do it? It's just, we were talking about marriages,
mm-hmm.
how to build families, things like that. So we have forgotten that, yes, the societies, the communities, and the families, and all these lives,
mm-hmm.
it's all about our culture. And we need to learn these things.
Yeah,
so
really
I'm
very
grateful that the teachers are there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why they are saying that, and I've seen a lot of them now who are actually... maybe not, I don't know what level is this,
mm-hmm.
but from early childhood development. So those teachers are needed. In the South, we still need teachers, kids to be taught in Oshuambo,
mm-hmm.
and Oshindonga,
mm-hmm.
Jerero, and things like that. Even here, so that we have, even when we have now intermarriage kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
these are cultural things that are happening.
Yes.
So nobody, no child is in terms of social development. That socialization process. So, and I'm very grateful. I don't know how to thank you, my people.
Mm-hmm.
But all we are saying is that maybe we need to engage with the Ministry of Education and the UNICEF and all these other people who are the, you know, at the right bodies.
Mm-hmm.
To see now, what do we do? Because I've heard our minister, I think he's now the minister now, when she was the executive director.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about lack of early childhood development centers in the region.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to combine together, find out those who have done those kind of programs and see how we can now get, how they can get, maybe facilitate some kind of process to so that they can UNICEF and all these things. Yes, I'm very, very, very much concerned with how our children are going to, because they are growing in Free Town. It's fine. It's development.
Mm-hmm.
But are they really getting that social development, the foundation? Mm-hmm. I wonder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
Daddy?
Thank you very much.
Daddy?
Mommy. Yes, Mommy?
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
As my
father and as someone that is raising other children, you know, what is your contribution to actually making sure that you are raising or your contribution to making sure that you are either raising children that can be integrated into this conversations that we are having to say you are raising children that will be able to speak Oshuambo for a very long time, to pass on cultural norms and so forth. What has your contribution been in that regard?
Yeah, I think I will start with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now my contribution, and at least start myself to improve and see how I can rectify it. Even though the damage is already caused.
Mm-hmm.
So when I've been growing with those learners and others, even when you speak, those people, they just speak English.
Yes.
Or they run in Africa, even though they were learning in Germany in their schools.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now you discover that some of these schools, they were not having Oshuambo,
mm-hmm.
Oshindonga, Shwanyama. So a few of those urban schools, they were having Herero and all these things, Africans and all this. So our contribution, my contribution now is that if we, for example, we are to come up with some kind of campaign,
mm-hmm.
and seriously facilitate with what I was saying, they say, fine, if we, how do we then teach? Because in the rural area, most of the kids are taught in Oshuambo. Shuambo language, or Shuambos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what, you know, Vanek, our local language is in Kavango, in the same, maybe, spoken language there.
Mm-hmm.
And many a times, what we do, like we have a slogan now. Sociology now stands is a medium of instruction. But there are also other languages there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Which are not so, when the people come to school now, maybe in Zambezia I have to be corrected. Now the people now learn this thing. They are taught in, Slovy. Slovy is like English now. Mm-hmm. When you come into school, everybody's now taught in English. I think my contribution is that let's teach, start speaking Oshiwambos, our vernaculars, and all this, our indigenous language to our children, just to enforce them, to impress upon them, and also tell and make them aware that these things is very important. If you do not have this thing, it's like you have lost your culture or values or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Please continue educating us in how to maybe go back to our roots.
Okay, sir.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Likewise. Okay, there you have had it from Uncle Bwana, aka Hileni's father. But before we continue, I would like to share with you a message from our friends at ShopRite. And, you know, from ShopRite, my favorite ShopRite. It's not just any ShopRite. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite
ShopRite. It's your favorite ShopRite.
It's my favorite ShopRite. So find a ShopRite liquor store in your neighborhood, north, down, south, or somewhere in between for hard deals on six pack of 440ml bottles of Windhoek Premium Lager for just 79.99 cents, 3 liters Namakwa Sweet Rosé boxed wine, 3 liters Namakwa Sweet Rosé boxed wine for just $124.99, 3 liters Prairie Bay Natural Sweet Rosé boxed wine for just $149.99, and Tassenberg Dry Red Wine for just $39.99. That is the 750ml of Tassenberg Winter Warm Savings at ShopRite Liquor Stores, not for sale for under 18s. So if you know you are under the age of 18, yeah, please do not go to my favorite shop. like I keep telling you guys, it's not just any ShopRite, it's my favorite,
it's your favorite.
ShopRite. So
you are like,
yes, so see you there. Like when I leave here, ne, I'm mm-hmm. going to one of them. Mm-hmm. So if you see me, get yourself a 6-pack of what you're drinking, and you know what? I'll pay for it. That's if you see me. Mm-hmm. If you don't see me, and forget it. No person, no case. No Hileni, no case, guys. So no Hileni, no case. Unfortunately, if you don't come across me today, you don't have a case. Even the ACC cannot find me on this one. But to just continue our conversation where we left off, Bernadette, I want to reemphasize the fact that language is the most powerful cultural carrier. Mm-hmm. And I don't think as a nation, we are coming to that realization, because you don't just have to speak the language.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know the language, somehow, somewhere, you are also associated with its cultural practices. Much more than you learning about cultural practices mm-hmm. without you understanding them.
Yes.
I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know when you hear... Well, you know when you see Kavango's doing something...
Mm-hmm.
And I mostly see the type of dance they do mm-hmm. and their chants and so forth, and also the himbas, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are just certain things you look at and they intrigue you and you want to learn and you read up on them. But still, ne, you just feel like, what did I just read? You still don't understand it.
Yeah.
That well compared to someone that is fluently spoken in the language, because some of those things require you to understand the language, ne,
mm-hmm.
for you to understand the concept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I can be here saying "ombedi ihai monti," and now I translate it to English,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I don't even want to do it because I don't think it will make a lot of sense.
No, for real, I know.
Because blame does not go into a tree. Yo!
Yeah. Something like that.
Yes. So, and in most cases when you don't understand a language and you direct translate it, some of its meaning is taken away, some of its meaning is lost.
You are
so
right.
It's very vital that people learn their languages because this is the most important and most powerful and most powerful cultural carrier. So when a child can speak their mother tongue, they can connect with older family members, understand proverbs, and grasp concepts that don't translate neatly into English. And that is the point I'm trying to make here, to say there are certain things that will not translate properly into English unless you understand your mother tongue.
Unless
these indigenous languages are understood properly,
then
you cannot pass them on to future generations. Eagle FM, you're live.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you? Excuse me?
Is that Eagle FM? Yeah. We are discussing about culture and...
Yes.
Let me try to participate a little bit. You know, the problem we have, I heard you guys talking about, you know, the weddings of the olden days and the weddings of today.
Yes.
You know where the problem lies? If you adopt someone's religion, you adopt their culture too. Is it? And that's what we have done. Yes, we have adopted the religion of Christianity.
Yes.
Simply put, we have also adopted their culture. They adopted our religion. That's why you see they still keep on their own. If you go to other, they speak English also, but they know, but they never abandon them. Hindus do the same. Us, we abandon our language because if you want to destroy a culture,
Yes.
Force people to follow your religion. The moment they follow your religion, they'll follow your culture. Religion and culture, they go together. Yes. So there's no way you can speak your language because you should tell me exactly how do you, look, in African culture, we also believe in the Maker. In as much as it's not, it might not be God, you would have called God, but we all know it was the Maker. And the white man's religion, they call him God, and they painted him white, and the, you know, a male. But in our religion, I don't think we could paint our God that they are female or male. It's a religion, you know. So the moment you have adopted that, and then you start looking at yourself as inferior, is it? So anything you do, it should be approved. We demonized ours as savage victory. No, not even evil. It was called, these are savages. You see? So we savagize our religion. Then what do you expect? If you talk, you tell a young lady or a young guy today about the olden culture, how people used to treat or treat themselves. Man, the people will tell you that's devilish. You see? So it's us. We have to go back to our roots. The same thing you were saying. Those who have still got their elders in their villages who still remember what was happening, they are lucky. But you know, when you see that you are lucky, is when the person who was there is gone. Then you realize, I was supposed to ask this. I was supposed to ask that. Is it? So it's too late, and that's how we lost it. The second thing is, you know, instead of our elders teaching us exactly what should be taught, what do? We force people for respect so that they'll be scared of us. In the olden days, people knew respect and they were bringing the kids to closer. How are we coming closer? Do you still have got fairy tales today? In your village, if you go to the north, let's start, you'll be honest. Have you ever seen a grandfather now these days telling a fairy tale to your children?
Those things don't happen anymore of sitting for Shinyanga, so
yes,
they story time and so forth.
We were told about, you know, this thing, the ghost that used to swallow people, it swallowed the whole village, you know. And then it came back, and then, it, you know, like a small girl or guy who went and cut his stomach, then, you know, the whole village came out. And then that the person became a king, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you were encouraged to work hard, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. But what happened? We lost it all because of what? Of other people's culture.
Yes.
Because they taught us, and they changed ourselves, they gave us a religion, you know. That are the own ways of how they wanted it to be done. And they told us, no, we knew, don't be deceived that in African culture, we used to kill. No, in African culture, killing was a taboo. It's prohibited. If you kill, you die, you know. And if you tell people that, no, if a person have killed a person, even if they are guilty, as long as there's a lawyer who proves to them that, no, this person is innocent, the person will walk free, is it?
Mm-hmm.
But in African culture, you knew that if this is the crime you are going to commit, the consequences of this crime is A, B, C, D. You know,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So you won't even tempt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Girls were taught this and this and this. Boys were taught this and this and this. Elders also, as you grow up, you are taught this and this and this and this and this. These mm-hmm. are the ways, these are the no-go areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, but today, what we do, we have adopted a European culture, and we think it's easy because there is nothing that prohibits you. There are no consequences.
But there is.
Yes.
But there is consequences.
I don't know. Because only if you go to court.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here in African culture, the elders will call you. Start from your village. Your government. Before even the court comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They will interrogate you and they'll find out if it's what you have done is right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the punishment, we all knew what is the punishment.
We had our own cultural punishments.
Yes. Now we have adopted other people's religion and other people's culture. So what do you expect? You want to go back again to your religion. If you want to do that, we have to give up on this religion which we sold to us. And that's why sometimes I ask people that if God, if the Bible or whatever, the Christianity is where God is, the maker, why was it translated? Because the book itself, the book which is called King James Version, it's the king's version, the king of Scotland. And the king of Scotland was James. So he told the people to translate Hebrews for him because he could not understand that Hebrews when the ancient Canaanites, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote that because when they were in captivity, it's a story anyway. When they were in captivity, they wanted to keep the religion and they created their own. They knew that, okay, they believed in one God, which they believed that it was God, the maker. They called him Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
So when Constantino and others came and they put this, those ancient Canaanites, which we call today Hebrews, into captivity. So these people were trying to write their religion so that they shouldn't forget it. They should pass it on to their offsprings.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So then these Roman guys, then they realized, I think this guy's religion is good. So then they copied it. Then the king of Scotland also, when he came, he said, no, translate it for me. You see?
Yes.
If you go to Hebrews, there's nothing called God. They are gods. It's plural. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It says, if you go and you read about it, it will tell you exactly who is he. They called him Yahweh, but it was not Yahweh. They pronounced it. Because it says, and look, if you look at even the Genesis when the thing starts, it says, and God said, let us make man. You get it?
Yes.
How many were they? This is the beginning of the world. But you hear somebody saying, let us. Us means what? How many people? More than
multiple people.
Yes. More than one. So where did the other people come from? Because this was only God one God, which they have taught us. But when they were making a man, they said, let us make man according to our own
image
and our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
No, you are right, sir.
Yes. So the Bible itself, if you look at it, it's not the word of God. It says King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they translated it. But we ask, because we are blindfolded, we don't even read the word King James Version. King, the King of Scotland. You see, it was James. And he said, he told the people, no, translate it for me. So, because I'm interested in these people's religion. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they came here, they used the same religion to colonize us. And then they used the same religion after they taught us, because we believed in them, and we said, no, these are the best people who are teaching us the best thing. We regarded them as the people who can approve anything we want to do. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is called subversion. Subversion is the method of infiltrating into your enemy's territory and change your enemy's perception to the extent that your enemy perceives you as a helper. So these things of conspiracy, or what people call conspiracy theory, or spying, or whatever you might call it, it's at a long way back. So they infiltrated into us, and they taught us, for you, remember, even this thing today, this changing gender, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
In the olden days, ask old people, they will tell you, on your thing when you're going to register, to be registered as a person, or when you're traveling, it used to be Christian name. What is your Christian name? Is it? Because if you don't have one, and people were laughed at. At school, if they told you, no, what is your Christian name, when you don't have one, they will laugh at you. You know?
Yeah, because you're not a Christian.
You have to go look for a name. The English name. You know? The same thing happens in Islam. When you join Islam, they'll change your name. One, you have to adopt one of their names. But the Christians, they say, no, them, for them, you do it voluntarily. It's not voluntary, it was forced on people.
Yeah, no, for the Muslims, I know.
No, even in that time, because if you see, it was written on a form, even a ministry, whatever form you fill in. Christian name was there, was part of the form. Then it changed from, okay, there was used to be Christian name section, all those things. Then it started changing to gender, yes. And then it says first name. I think it is what, how do you call it? There's another name, the second name, whatever, something like that, on the forms, which we fill in today. If you are going to invest or wherever you are going or you are traveling, there is a name. That part where it used to be Christian name, you know, it's no longer Christian name, you know. So, but that's all what I wanted to participate. We have already given up our culture. And because of our, you know, in the same Bible, which the white man translated from Hebrews, he added something which he called, my people will perish because of lack of knowledge. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we are perishing. Because the Bible itself, look at it. The name is very clear. The Bible's name, King James Version. Simple. And we all tend to be a word of God. The King's Version. It answers King Jesus Christ's Version. So, but all in all, it's us. But I think the best way is to go back to our religion and ask, if you go to the back to the old people, they will tell you how they used to treat illnesses. If today, my sister, I tell you, let's go and then they'll treat you the way each other, you will be the first one to say, this thing is for the old people, old times, you know? Yeah. No, but anyway, all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for that.
Yeah, that is it. Kucheke, the thing is here, we need to bring back our culture. We need to bring back our culture just for the new generation to know more about culture. And also, the way you are raising your child, you must try to raise your child in the way that this child one day is also gonna raise. They're also going to raise their children, whereby they need to learn more about culture, what to do and what not to do,
yes.
And also about languages, especially your mother tongue. Mother's tongue they are the important ones that we need to know or we need to learn. And also those languages are teaching us a lot about culture, on how to, let me say whatever I was mentioning the beginning about culture, especially when it comes to weddings, when it comes to whatever you are doing in life.
Yes.
It has to do with culture, you know. It has to do with culture. Yeah, no, in Moshidana Shimoshopansuru Wakara Kutiwa Omurunguru inyayo nale oyonaya aluke. I feel like we really need to bring back our culture and also to keep it. We really need to keep it. And not like to follow other people's culture, especially as Namibians or as Africans. We like following those, let me say, those Germany people, or let me say those white people. Whatever they are doing, we also want to do it. When they are doing this, we want to follow their things. It's not, I feel like we are lacking a lot. We are really lacking a lot. And that is also lacking in our new, or in our new generation, or the upcoming generation. It's really something that need to be, I think, should be addressed. Oh, I don't know, but we really need to keep our culture. We need to keep it. We need to bring back the culture.
You are definitely right on the aspect of bringing back cultures.
Mm-hmm.
It is important and it is vital that parents and future parents meet the government halfway,
mm-hmm.
because as a nation, as a Namibian, there is this trend whereby people are quick to blame the government,
mm-hmm.
that the government is not making provisions, the government is not making provisions to make sure certain measures are in place.
Mm-hmm.
The government is not making provisions to make sure children are educated in indigenous languages. The government is not making provisions to preserve cultural norms.
But I think cultural norms, that wasn't supposed to be done by the government.
No, the government needs to make sure the integration continues,
mm-hmm.
until institutional level,
mm-hmm.
where it's versity, whereby you also get to have lecturers that can come back and teach it to the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then this is something that needs to start from home. It's something that needs to start from when your children, are younger.
Mm-hmm.
Because, in the clip we listened at the beginning of this, We have heard how Ms. Sanette Steenkamp emphasized on the fact that it's the parents' responsibility, mm-hmm. to make sure that their children ends up in indigenous languages classrooms.
Yes.
So it's a parent's responsibility, because already, mm-hmm. from the get-go,
mm-hmm.
if you as a parent today, if Bernadette, you have your child, and today as a parent you decide my child is going to do, is going to start doing French and English.
Mm-hmm.
That is what your child is going to be. We cannot, after doing French and English from kindergarten up to grade 12, we cannot go put this person in at university level. We take them and we want to put them to study a language such as Kwekwekwekwavap, to study a language such as Oshiwambo. Mm-hmm. It makes it very impossible for this person to excel in that course, because you don't know it from way back.
Mm.
You are learning everything from scratch. And that's why you see that, excuse me, one of the requirements when you go to study, one of the requirements when you go to varsity, is they require you to take up one of the languages you at least had in high school, because it makes it easier for the curriculum to be understood. It makes it easy for you to understand the curriculum. Yes, there are those that are headstrong. There are those that it's probably your maternal language and you speak it fluently.
Mm-hmm.
You can still go do it in varsity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm at a point where I think if I'm to decide to do Oshiwambo at varsity level today,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would struggle as much as my cousins that don't speak Oshiwambo at all.
You can,
because at least I have that basic understanding of the language.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle FM, you're live.
Sorry for coming back. I was reminded by something.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, I finished, you don't, You see, the caller, the last caller I was listening to, he was talking to you
yes.
about terrorism. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
He just reminded me that most of the stories are actually told to the young ones
mm-hmm.
Of your level. And when we give them the events, for example, like memorial services, burials, and things like that, we don't afford them an opportunity to tell us some stories that they were told by their grand.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned Lupale and all these other things, like Kaikovali.
Yes.
But then the stories, we don't give those young ones, the little ones, the young ones, the young adults, to tell us the stories that they have heard from their grand, from their grandfather or grandmother and all these parents. Because they were well socialized to tell stories. Like the previous caller was talking about the Bible stories, all these scavengers, all these other stories.
Mm-hmm.
But few of them will give all the time to the adults, say all these things, then we do not hear the legacy of the old people that were passed to the children. So I think that is a real concern. And I know the schools, so the early, you know, history and all these other things, they always talk about those stories.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good.
Okay. So just to add to that, the ideology that when you take on someone's religion, you are bound to lose your own culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, I kind of agree to that extent, to that statement, because, you know, our forefathers, they spoke to ancestors.
Yeah.
Our forefathers made offerings to their ancestors. Our forefathers were one with their ancestors. They, to a point whereby they even had certain communications with their ancestors, and they prayed for rain from ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
They prayed for good field yields from their ancestors. And there were just things that were being done culturally and, through being Bantu, that are not being practiced anymore, because now when you practice those particular things now, mm-hmm. it sounds like exorcism. It sounds like you rituals.
Mm.
It sounds so many things that Christianity has deemed wrong, right? And you spoke about some of the things that people used to do, like okukwaekwa.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just things that we used to experience as children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this things like, you know, when you were traveling a long distance, when we were growing up, imbare, there were the things you used to eat in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
How do I put it now? You see, this is why we say
what is
comprehension.
That?
Imbare, mawalira.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you ate, ihaizipoporupare. Until there is a message that owathika hutoi. So, yes, those are some of the things I saw growing up. Like when the uncles that go to Ushimba, to the Ushimb, when they go back. those uncles that go back to the Ushimb.
Uh-huh.
You know, when they eat in the morning, that ekaka and, mm-hmm. and pap.
Mm-hmm. Onguta mo.
Onguta.
Mm-hmm.
It's just covered up, taikara poshinyanga, po pokarupare konjugo, until a message comes that they've arrived. And I know it has a significant meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not registering that right now, because I used to ask about it a lot, because sometimes you want to eat the food that you are being told.
The leftovers.
Yeah. As a child, you felt like everything that they said you should not touch
mm-hmm.
was nicer. So when they say don't touch, now you want to touch. Now you really, really want to. So those are just some of the things.
And also, Heleni,
mm-hmm.
let me not really go deep in Oshiwampo, but there's also that thing, nowadays, ne, let me say, wahombora nandokuli wahokano nenge, maybe you gave birth.
Mm-hmm.
When you gave birth, most, kutiwa okanguo kenya ko kepekotoro kana, kutiwa kucha, eshitodiko shipangiro kufikire monchuo, punga kufikira monchuo, until okay, makoka anataka dipo, and you don't need even to do anything. You might just stay okara okay urimonjuo ikuliotie telwa whatever. But yeah, nowadays you see people when you get married, or maybe you are here in Windhoek and then you give birth. You are here,
young,
the one that is going
young
to cook.
Mothers, we are there Mondingosho now. we are there with the young mothers, mm-hmm, in the Ndingosh, because the Western world does not really dictate what you should do. The Western world does not really tell you that, mm-hmm, it's wrong to, you know, as a fresh Omari,
mm-hmm,
it's wrong for you to do certain things.
Yes.
And that is what was keeping children safe. And that is what was keeping mothers at home. And most of the time I believe that the Western world has made it so difficult,
mm-hmm,
for people to actually be disciplined. Most of the things our Bantu people have as cultural norms,
mm-hmm,
as you don't do, you don't and you shouldn't. It's things that actually kept a lot of people in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just speaking about Oshiwambo speaking, mm-hmm, people. It's everyone.
Everyone, yes.
There are things like Olufuko.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they train you up until a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everyone. For you to participate in things like Olufuko,
mm-hmm,
it was you taking pride in the fact that you haven't indulged in sexual activities yet.
Yes.
So women wanted,
until you get
yes,
a man in your life.
Women wanted to be preserved,
mm-hmm,
for that process because it's dignified culturally.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you are not able to go through that process, then the whole village knows, kucha, hi, this madam is finished. Yes. And,
mm-hmm,
in a way, this cultural aspect that have been taken away from society are the reasons we have a lot of skyrocketing teenage pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
Young women at the age of 13 who are entitled to boyfriends already because it's my body, I'm free, I'm being taught about A, B, C, and D, that's how Mensa Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no consequences. There is no one to teach these people that it's good to preserve yourself as a woman,
mm-hmm,
to a certain extent,
mm-hmm,
because now everything is just together. Alas, it's near dear Makar. It's everything has been westernized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We watch so many YouTube videos. People watch, Western shows. In fact, Western shows are their favorites, eh? They watch Western shows and, it's an makar of, oh my god, Kylie got a child at 16, so why can't I? Kylie was born into a billionaire family.
That's the thing.
Kylie and her parents and her things. In fact, they are selling that child for show business.
Mm-hmm.
So they are already making a child, making money out of that child.
Well, okay.
Now you Nangula, mm-hmm, from Ohaingu village.
And you want to do that. You want to follow in her
The trends that have been set by other people already. It makes it a bit tricky. So it's up to the parents to continue, raising their kids the way we were raised.
Mm-hmm.
To continue disciplining their kids the way we were disciplined. When we were growing up, the whole village had the right to beat us.
Yeah.
If you did something wrong,
mm-hmm,
you are going to run home with a slap, and if you go report that me kaino beat you, then they beat you again at home. because Mekaino did not do a proper,
mm-hmm,
job.
Mm-hmm.
So now they also add to say, now you know what Mekaino said.
So that means when you are going home, you have to make sure not to reveal that to
Yes.
That. No,
because you know if an elder,
mm-hmm,
in the surrounding, mm-hmm, reprimands you and beats you,
mm-hmm,
you know it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take that information home,
mm-hmm,
now you will also be beaten because it's to say, we tell you it's wrong, Majikan, don't that know.
Yeah.
You are still going to do it.
Now
we'll beat
it.
You again also so that you never repeat it again. So those are just some of the things,
mm-hmm,
that should be passed on just to preserve the culture. Just teach your kids during holidays, ne? Instead of your kids spending time in their bedrooms, gaming their lives away. Gaming, social media. And it's said that social media is now just at the fingertips of our hands. So instead of things such as that, sit down with your kids. Mm-hmm. Let your mother sit down with your kids. If you are gallivanting and you don't have time, let your parents sit down with the kids. Let the elders and I'm telling you, family.
I can't imagine the way I'm going to raise my children. I can't imagine. For real. Because I know they will be disciplined. They'll be disciplined, my dear.
They'll take you to social services. Nowadays, kids, they know their rights.
And imagine, let me not lie, eh? You can never ever try to greet my grandmother, say, walala pokuku.
Nende apeme.
Yeah, apmeme. No, my dear. You must say, walele po meme. Okuna ukwendo lulifamweke.
Apema shike. And that's why I said those are the questions I grew up being asked. Ap me mashke, ap tate, ap tatoshke.
That's the thing.
Ap tatoshke.
Ap
is what?
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so it's just to strengthen the resilience of cultural practices. It's just to strengthen where we stand so that more knowledge can be passed down. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion is, as parents, just sit down with your kids, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And pass something on to them. As parents, try by all means. I know it's very cute. You find it very cute when you rah, rah, rah the whole day with your family. Mm-hmm. But somehow, somewhere, find a balance and just pass on information.
Mm-hmm.
Find a balance and just also speak to the kids in Oshiwambo. If you are a multilingual household, try by all means to just speak to them in both languages. Send them to both houses so that the kids can just learn. And if you now decide it's chaotic for them to learn both, then as parents, as a household, decide which one of the languages the kids are actually going to learn so that they can have some sort of association, so that they can have some sort of cultural association, cultural pride to take in, and just so that they can belong somewhere. Mm-hmm. You cannot just be ujamombepo. You are just in the air. You are just existing. You don't know what you belong to. Some people ask, what is your totem name? And people are like, hey, why, what's a totem name?
Kama.
And sometimes it's not even kama. Onto keshishi. Shashi narongwa. So as parents, do take the time to teach your children, do pass down books, take them to weddings where people are practicing those things.
Yeah.
You know, that one kuku that is still alive. Every time there's an event at their house, take the kids so that they can observe. And by observation, if they're curious enough, they'll come back and ask you, oh, but mommy, why did they do A, B, C, and D? And then you can now explain to them why they did it. It makes it easier for the kids to learn when they've been exposed to things. You can only learn by exposure. And unless you are exposed to certain things, you might not even know they exist. And our parents put us through so much exposure culturally. You are just there, the handbag. Because you are most now the one that is barely home. So you don't know the thing. So now you are just being dragged along left, right, center, backwards. And I'm not complaining. I'm glad it happened. I don't know what I would have been. And in my adult life, it's also saved me so much just to have a little bit of fluency in Oshiwambo.
Yeah.
Just to know a little bit.
That's
of
why
it.
I love it that nowadays, I don't know if it was there or maybe it just came up like when the curriculum changed. I love the way, like, the teachers are teaching oral in grade 10. I think it's been taught in grade 10. I think it's in grade 10.
A what?
Oral, like you do oral or shuambo, like omapekapeko.
Grade 10, grade 11, grade 12.
Yeah, ne? It's really nice, and it's really teaching learners or the kids. They are learning a lot mm-hmm. about it. The way you go to your parents, you ask about this and this. Let me say, maybe you took a topic about Otelela, or maybe Omajomo Shkola, or maybe Oshinyenye. Or maybe in my show, ohango pansulu wakalo iluandi tinge pe ile ohango yo bakwanyama, those things
mm-hmm.
you will learn a lot because you will search more, you make more research on what does this mean or what to do and what not to do. Those things you are just learning a lot about culture, and also it's just something nice the way they are teaching that. Oral, or mm-hmm. let me say, omapekapeko ino shiwambo.
Yes.
Oshima shimweta shilongo onai obanya shabo paife. Yo natango bakaleve na eshivoli hapu kucha. What to do and what not to do. And just something about culture.
Yes. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of our programming. But before I bid you farewell, I would just like to reemphasize on the fact and on some of the things that our members of parliament have stated on or touched on, to say the responsibility starts in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the government can be held accountable. Yeah. Institutions can be held accountable
mm-hmm.
only after you plow the field for your child to be able to sow something. Because by fair, you cannot just start expecting from one person only. So the responsibility starts in your household. When you start being responsible, you can also come back and hold the Ministry of Education liable. You can come back and hold institutions liable, but you cannot raise children who are not fluent in their indigenous languages. You cannot raise children who do not know their cultures and want a university to start teaching them at university level. It does not make logical sense. And also, it needs to be a conversation of some of these universities, it's business. Yes, they are offering an education to your children, but at the end of the day, it's private institutions with resources that need to be paid for. So you cannot expect for people to outreach
mm-hmm.
further than they can, because we've seen those things. We've seen things being cancelled because we were not enough, the intake was not enough, or you see that something is being postponed because the number of people needed to participate mm-hmm. is not enough. This is not just in relation mm-hmm. to school. Even Deshafela Laranja,
the
mayor of City of Windhoek, mm-hmm. she's recently been complaining
mm-hmm.
about the engagement from stakeholders, the engagement from the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. You know, you people that are residing in Windhoek, mm-hmm. you are not going to stakeholder engagement meetings. You are not interested in knowing what is going on. And that is the example I'm using to say, even if something is put there,
mm-hmm.
if people are not coming to engage,
mm-hmm.
if people are not showing interest, there is almost nothing that you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So ladies and yes. Mm-hmm. So ladies and gentlemen, that has been social time with me, Hileni Inane, and Bernadette. And you know, you can catch me next week, Saturday, same time, same place, same radio frequency here on Eagle FM. Do continue listening to our programming, and I will meet the rest of you at my favorite ShopRite. Have a lovely Saturday. Bye.
Bye.
My mother said I'm too romantic. She said you're dancing in the movies.
I almost started to believe her. Then I saw you and I knew. Maybe it's 'cause I got a little bit older. Maybe it's all that I've been through. I'd like to think it's how you lean on my shoulder and how I see myself with you. I don't say a word, but still you took my breath, and still the things I know. There you go, saving me from out of the cold. Fire on fire, we're normally kiss, but there's much desire. Together we're winners. We say that we're out of control and some see we see this, but don't let them ruin our beautiful rhythms. 'Cause when you unfold me and tell me you love me, look in my eyes. You are perfection, my only direction. It's fire on fire. It's fire on fire. When we fight like lions. But then we love and feel the truth.